what I would share today, talk about today, and I decided that I would share with you something that I have been, a book, it's not an entire book, just the first couple of chapters that I started working with a few practitioners. Actually, I recommend that you might find it quite useful. Maybe some of you have read it already. This book is called Advice for Future Corpses. Applies to every one of us. A practical perspective on death and dying. So, Advice for Future Corpses with the asterisks and those who love them. So, of those of us who love future corpses. So the author, she's a writer, but she's also a Zen teacher. And but you will find that it's not a super religious discussion, but it's really literally practical because she's also a nurse. She's a nurse who works with end-of-life patients. So she's seen a lot of people experiencing that part of their life. And I thought I will share with you what's been happening and what I've been thinking about working with a few practitioners on this book. So I am sharing with you that the first time we met talking about this book was, okay, we just read the first chapter. I think this book about basically about death. And what came up was someone sharing, honestly, feeling a little bit embarrassed, how much resistance he had about even just reading the book. He just didn't actually want to read about it. It's about death. I just don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it. And just voicing this fear and resistance helped me acknowledge that, yeah. And because we live in a culture that maybe it's like, you're not supposed to be afraid, and just being afraid feels shameful or embarrassing. And or maybe some those of us who've been practicing some time may feel embarrassed about being afraid of death. It's like, well, I'm a Buddhist, I'm supposed to feel okay with death. No one feels okay with that. So when we hear other people acknowledging that, allowing ourselves to acknowledge that actually can help us begin the process of actually really looking at this integral part of being human. Actually, everything happens for me. Everything exists only for some time. So, what we actually ended up doing in that particular session was, instead of talking about that particular chapter, was we spent the time having a sharing of our experience with death. In particular, for many of us who spiritually like experiencing death of people in our life. What happened? And one thing that's quite interesting was that we don't talk about it. We don't talk about it. It's a very, you can call it private, it's all taboo topic. Like everybody had, in one way or the other, sort of gone through some experience of someone that we know passing away. It's a fact of life. There's a famous story in the Sutra where a woman went to the Buddha very upset with her baby who just died, and very, very upset. And the Buddha sent her to go around and ask every family to see if that she couldn't find anyone, any family, who had never experienced death in their family. Yet, we don't hear about it. We don't talk about it. And so, what actually we discovered was that just the process, just the opportunity to allow ourselves to talk about with someone else, to share with someone how we experience smoothing someone in itself is very healing. And so I wanted to share a little bit about what was shared. One thing was one person, she talked about her experience of someone dying in her family when she was very little. And it was a very confusing experience for her because her family made it very, turned it into something that's taboo to talk about. So it was like she was very young, she just got the sense that something happened, but nobody explained to her what had happened. And all the, you can say, secrecy, like the sense that we're not supposed to talk about it, established in her mind that something very shameful, something wrong is happening. And so for her, she discovered that her resistance to thinking about death was this feeling that something's wrong about it. And there's even a sense that like something's wrong with the person, that it's that person's fault who had died. And of course, when we say it out loud, it's an absurd idea. But there's this nagging sense that like, it's your fault that you have to die. And when, of course, death is a normal thing, happens to everybody, happens around us. So I brought this up to help us cultivate this awareness, to see if we have developed some kind of idea about death, maybe like something's wrong with it, something's wrong with death, we're not supposed to have to die. Then, of course, that is an erroneous view. Everything, not just everybody, everything, you think about plants, think about animals, every living thing dies. So we're just like everything in the universe. It's truly nothing more normal than death. But we somehow created this idea in our mind that it is something wrong, or maybe like that like something will be wrong with me, it will be a failure on my part if that happens. So of course, again, voicing that out loud now to hear the absurdity of it. But when we don't reflect on it, don't allow ourselves to talk about it, it just get all muddled in our mind and affect us at a very deep emotional level. So actually, it's interesting that the author of this book talk about a lot of countries, actually they have things called death salon, where people get together to just talk about it, to normalize this topic, so that we feel that we can have an opportunity to share our feeling and thoughts and experience surrounding death. And the participant of this session, one thing they really got out of is the feeling that their experience, their feeling about death, it took away some of the fear and shame about their feeling and thoughts about death. So even if you haven't gotten a chance to share with someone, I encourage you to do that. At the very least, you can start reflecting on your own experience with that. Maybe you can allow yourself to get some time to maybe journal about or just think through how you experienced someone's death, maybe when you were a child the first time, and how that felt. And that might actually give you some insight about maybe some belief or idea that you haven't really allowed yourself to examine regarding death that might have contributed to this resistance of fear, or maybe some sense of shame around it, around your own feelings around it. So this is actually a practice of cultivating awareness about aspect of ourselves, that there are these feelings and ideas that live in our mind, this kind of percolating in our consciousness, that in the practice of chan can bring to awareness, and so that we can cultivate clarity about that aspect of ourselves. And of course, then maybe we will have the opportunity to dispel whatever distorted view or erroneous ideas about it. And another thing that came up in this sharing is what I want to share with you was that someone shared about her resistance to death in the form of her experience of being quite angry when her loved one, when her close relative was about to die. And what she experienced was that she didn't want to go to see this person, even though she grew up with this person, because all she could think about was that this person is dying. And she only could see death in the whole situation. Now, of course, that person is not dead yet. That person is still alive. And the person is still able to laugh and enjoy some fun time with her and enjoy some food with her. And what she discovered when she was sharing her experience was that she let the idea of death to completely occupy her mind and left no space to see the rest of what's going on. It's easy to do, isn't it? That when we think about someone, someone's maybe terminal here, and all we can think that is gonna die, is dying, and forgetting that he's still living. Very easy to do. I have met many people who have elderly parents, particularly easy to do, or someone in their life who is a very ill. I met people who basically kind of just waited, thinking that they are dying. And all they could think of is that this particular aspect of that person. And so when we are able to see that this is what we're doing, that is actually blocking us from being able to be fully present with this person, when we spend time with this person. If you ever are in the presence of someone, this person is alive. This person is not dead. But in our mind, we hold this idea so much that we are not seeing. That you and this person is not different. You are both still living. You are sharing this moment together. And that will be what this person wants also, for you to just be fully present, to be aligned with them in this moment. But many of us can't do that. We're so preoccupied with the idea of death in those moments. So cultivating this clear awareness of our feeling and our thoughts, that what we were doing in our meditation, will allow us to see that maybe that's what we're doing. Chances are we're not doing that. And allowing ourselves to see that yes, this person is probably not going to live very long. You don't know if this is the only time, the last time. But this moment, we can see what we're together. And allow ourselves to let other aspects of the reality of this person right now into the present moment experience. Maybe joy. How much do you want to be able to enjoy something with us? But our preoccupation with the idea of that block ourselves, and maybe because of our action, also block them from being able to experience whatever comes up, including joy, maybe other things in this moment. And that would be a pity. So we can make use of those opportunities to really allow us to cultivate this total awareness. And when we practice now on and off cushion and cultivating this total awareness, when we will find that in those moments, those very difficult emotional moments, they will come in handy. It's like you're so upset, you're so preoccupied with the idea that this person's dying, and you're beside yourself, and then you're like, oh, but it's not the only thing. That's not the only thing that's happening. And you will be able to actually bring some joy to alleviate the suffering of that person in that moment. It doesn't come to be your own suffering from being with someone who's dying. So pay attention to see how this idea, how our fixation on the idea of death might be creating a barrier, between ourselves and the person. It's like you over there, I'm here, and we're different. When we are the same. That's why the title of the book is For Future Corpses. You and I, no different. Who knows? I may die before you. We have no idea. No idea. We are just both still alive here. Let's share this moment. But without being aware of this habit of our fixating some idea on that, especially something as difficult as death, we can find ourselves falling into our most entrenched habits before we know it. Going into this is you, this is me, we're different, and reifying that person as a fixed entity. And because and depending on how you are characterizing this other person who's different, maybe you feel that it is label them with the death that makes them scary, makes them someone that you don't want to be close to. This fear, avoidance. A lot of people avoid people who are dying, even though that's someone that they love very much, because of this sense of separation. aversion is evil. And so, see if that might be happening. It might not be someone who is necessarily quote unquote dying at this point. It might be people who are actually getting quite elderly, getting quite ill. And maybe we notice this fear in us. It's the same kind of mechanism that we label. We only see the aspect of someone being elderly, being maybe disabled by the illness, or that they are near the death, as someone turned them into a them that I don't want to be associated with. Then of course that blocks our ability to come with this love and compassion. It's one of the painful things about having someone in our life in that condition is that we love them so much, we want to be able to reach out to them, but we feel this inhibition, this hesitation, or this fear. Get us thinking about how we might respond to this kind of very difficult situation, and making use of them as an opportunity for us to practice. There will be the most challenging time, as I mentioned earlier, when we practice all movements. Then after a while, it's like, it does not need to be when everything works, my body is relaxed, my mind is calm, and that's the only time I can practice. So yeah, it is extremely challenging. We're very upset. Very upset. Someone we love.
Or that might be an opportunity.
opportunity for us to see our resistance to even contemplate the such possibility. And also that might be an opportunity for us to become aware of this very pervasive, very subtle habit of mind that assumes that we always have a tomorrow.
The whole time, that's what you're saying when you
really imagine it would be less slaves like. We might be more disturbed by the fact that you were so unprepared, afraid. The fear that you had, that fear. So she was suggesting that, yeah, familiarize ourselves with this fear, with this resistance, with this that I don't want to die. Want to hold on to life. Quite different from the intellectualization of it all. Very easy to do, especially when we have studied the Dhamma enough. Oh yeah, no self, you know, this is all empty. I just let go, and that's fine. Sure, no problem. Right. Right. Don't kill yourself. Don't kill yourself. Be honest with where we are actually by allowing ourselves to see. Yeah. Like when people talk about fear of death, and I'm with everyone. No problem. It's actually not an unusual. Nothing to be embarrassed or ashamed about either. And I want to touch on another exercise that she talked about that I think we all want to work with as well. She talked about naming all the fears, naming all the fears about death. And I elaborated a little bit. We name the fears about our own death. She actually talked about she's a nurse. She asked people if there are some common ones. People fear, afraid of suffering, afraid of dying alone, afraid of like nobody caring about them, that they're dying, whatever. They're all kind of things. So think about, you know, really looking to ourselves. What are we afraid? What are our fears about our own death? And in particular, you can think about when we look at these fears, it might be, it's also a good opportunity to discover something about ourselves. Actually, when we practice with death, we are actually learning how to live our life. So some of the fears that people have maybe been afraid of not being independent anymore, not being able to do various things that we hold very dear to our hearts. That will be the moment of truth to have, wow, these are the things that I really attach to or identify as who I am. If I can't do that, I'm like somehow not the person I want to be anymore. And of course, that would be the moment also to remind ourselves to practice, really seeing that everything we can do now, including our ability to walk to the bathroom and use the bathroom on our own, is the coming together of many causes and conditions. It is not inevitable. Of course, there are many other things that we enjoy doing. Maybe dancing, maybe hiking, playing our favorite sports. All of that. While we can do it, that's wonderful causes and conditions. How often do we just take that for granted? complain about that. Can't believe I did this again. So, give ourselves some clarity about how we see ourselves, what makes us who I am now. And yeah, no self. It's not going to be always like this. I don't know when that will be, not, but impermanent. And also, someone shared about the fear of regret. Fear of regret. Fear that they have not lived the life that they would like to. You discover this is your fear about your death. This really is about how you're living your life. Why are you afraid that you might not be doing what you had hoped to do? How are you using your time now that might lead you to not fulfill your life? So that is also an opportunity for us to reflect on what it is that I'm doing. Am I doing, spending time doing things that is not going to lead me to see that when it's time for me to die, that I have actually lived the way I want to. We do that all the time because we think we have forever. I just do this thing that is not really what I want to do with my life, and I just mañana. That's maybe it's like you want to let your loved one know that you really love them, but we never spend time. We never spend time to let them know that we love them, we appreciate them. We spend time doing other things. So, how are we living our life as we examine our fear of our death? The other form of fear that might come up actually might be fear about the death of loved one, especially those of us who feel that maybe we still have some years ahead of us, but we have the fear revolving around death is fear of the death of our loved ones. I remember in a retreat, someone, she was in her 60s, and she was telling me that her last parent, her father, just passed away. And she was surprised by how traumatic it was, even though intellectually she knew, he's very old in his 90s, and it was not a surprise. But what she found surprising was the shock of finding herself being an orphan. She used that word. I find I'm an orphan at my age. And she was completely blindsided by it. So, examining, looking at the fear of the death of our loved one. Maybe you notice fear of their suffering, fear of them to go through a lot of pain. That's going to be very difficult. But perhaps you might also notice that underlying or behind this fear actually has to do with the fear of losing our life, our world. world as we know it, that includes this person, our world, it's made up of our relationship with this person, our attraction with this person, and maybe not just with this person. Very often, if it's a family member, it's a web of relationship. Anyone who has experienced the loss of a parent will notice a drastic change in our relationship with the surviving parent or our siblings. Things that we never thought would happen. Things that we never thought would fall apart. Maybe we actually had an idea that that can happen, and thus the fear of the death of our loved one, the collapse of the world that we know it, our personal universe. So, practice naming this fear, then we might become more aware of the issues that we have been avoiding in our life. And we might be slightly better prepared to cope with it when it happens. It's not going to be smooth sailing. Assuming that will happen can block our ability to deal with that situation. But if we don't allow ourselves to name and recognize the fear and how we might be shocked into reacting to that situation, the death of our loved one, when that time comes, we might be compelled to act or react in the ways that is neither wisdom nor compassion. I have seen someone when he saw his mother very near death, instead of allowing her to just be in her bed, slowly fading away, he forced the doctor to give his mother blood transfusion, which caused great pain, and distress on the mother. And also the doctor said that you're also using blood donated by people that other people would need. The doctor said this is totally not going to help at all. But this is very, very common, that we want to desperately hold on to the world as we know it. And by doing everything to stop someone from dying. I'm not saying that we always do this or do that again. It's a practice of cultivating clear total awareness to get us to see what is our motivation. Why are we doing this? But in that moment, it might be quite difficult. So the author of this book, I think, is really doing us a great service by encouraging us to practice with all this, to name the fear, to recognize these fear. It's not going to be you, not just to just come in that moment. It's been percolating in our mind all this time. We may as well name them, become familiar with them, become aware of them, so that we are not completely blindsided and get completely knocked off balance in those moments. And we can do that maybe instead of causing more suffering for others and ourselves, we can actually be a little bit helpful. If we don't cause extra harm, that is already helpful. But if we can bring some calm to the situation, we are slightly more helpful. And that is how our practice can help us reduce our suffering and also reduce other people's suffering. Having a death is already quite difficult, and we can refrain from adding to the suffering of the dying and also those around the dying. So it's some brief sharing on this topic, and I thought food for thought for you.